Young. Martial is isolated. Skirtle here. Oh, yes! Welcome to Manchester United, Anthony Martial.
Hi, Blue Spud. We have another guest, a new face. I'm trying to get new faces every episode. So yeah, we have a new guest. Of course, he'll introduce himself.
Hi everyone, my name is Daryl. You can find me on Twitter at Daryl Aduda.
So, football fan or a team fan?
Football fan, but more or less a team fan.
Which team do you support?
Man United.
Why?
Well, when I was coming to age as a football fan, I think it was the first team I fell in love with. It was because of David Beckham, of course. Plenty of people my age are football fans because of him.
Yeah, when you had Scholesy doing the thing.
Yes.
Yeah, all that.
Good old days.
yeah, when you used to be Glory, the Glory team. Right now, we're just History FC, man. I mean, but we move regardless. We're trying.
Yes.
We 2 points behind Arsenal that were
had the ahead. Best had the best transfer had the window.
They won it on with the loans and the higher purchase buys.
Yeah.
So talking of Arsenal and their higher purchase buys, they currently sit sixth. With 17 points. And if we look at the last international break and this international break, they have, I think, a difference of 2 points. Did you see those stats?
Their performances have been absolutely baffling in the sense that they have a very good team.
Yeah.
They clearly have talented players, but they don't perform. Then looking at their captain situation, their fans, coach.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a joke. It's they should be performing way better than they are.
Let's look at their last game. They were playing Leicester. You know, I had the introduction to Match of the Day.
Yeah.
And who's the host? Who's the host?
Lineker.
Yeah, yeah. He was saying it's a match between top four contenders and Arsenal.
Yes.
Are we at that point whereby Arsenal is just a by-the-way team? What is happening? Like, these guys were outdone by a team. Yes, they're in front. And I keep saying this. Leicester is not... We can't say that they are one of the best squads in even England.
Mm-hmm.
What they have is a manager who's managed to, like, get them together, get them working towards something.
Yeah.
What's happening with Arsenal? What was wrong? What happened in this game? What went wrong for... Good evening.
So, every time he says that, I
know,
crack
it's amazing.
Leicester City are the contrast of what Man United and Arsenal are currently. Uh-huh. They have a coach who's definitely raised the level of the players. They have a coach who's tactically aware of what he's doing. They have players performing at their best. I mean, their left back right now is probably one of the best left backs.
Chilwell,
in world football. Yes. And at the back, they have an experienced title-winning defender. That's Johnny Evans. They have Wilfred Ndidi, who looks like he's finally replaced N'Golo Kante. He's putting up N'Golo Kante numbers. It's as if their squad, which isn't that deep, has gelled very well. You look at Arsenal and you feel, okay, they went and bought David Luiz to show up the defense, but David Luiz is David Luiz. He is bound to make a mistake or two. He's not the leader that you're looking for. They have a very good left back from Celtic, Kieran Tierney, but for some reason he doesn't play. They have a midfield of Granit Xhaka, what's this, Torreira guy. he started out very well. I don't know what happened. He doesn't get played enough. Arsenal fans seem to think he's very good. I don't know if he's that good. There's just a lot of moving parts at Arsenal that are not coming together. And, of course, the backlash with the manager. They want the manager out. Possibly that could change things.
But, you know, I don't know why a team would be going for Unai. I mean, Unai is... Unai is average, first of all. Mm-hmm. Like, look at a manager who lost a 4-0 lead. A manager who can't win. He can't win much with a front line of... he had Cavani,
mm-hmm.
Mbappe,
mm-hmm.
and Neymar.
Mm-hmm.
He had Marquinhos and Thiago back at the... Like, he had so much, and he started, like, just having backroom problems. Draxler was not playing, Rabiot was out.
Yeah.
So is he the... Because, you know, there comes a time when the whole dressing room is against the manager.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole Xhaka situation was wrongly handled. Xhaka should be in the team.
Yes.
You can't just wake up and strap someone off.
But he shouldn't be the captain. He should be in the team, but he shouldn't be the captain anymore.
But you know, the thing is, probably he shouldn't be the captain, yes. Mm. But don't go just strapping someone off that armband. Like, don't make it look useless. You know, there's a time Mourinho for the US, when we were doing the US tour, I think back in 17.
Yeah.
He gave this guy, we saw him, Damian, mm-hmm. armband to make him stay. You know, we're treating it like some sort of toy. You just give it to whoever to make them. That's not how a band should work. I feel like this thing should have meaning, and it's losing it.
Yes.
Like, who can lead Arsenal? Who's the voice?
Again, there's no leadership from the top, I'd say so.
Yeah.
So it comes from the manager, trickles down to a player who espouses the manager's values on the pitch, right? A manager would want a captain who perhaps works hard as him, has similar views and let's say motivation as he does.
Yeah.
And Emery seems lost.
He is.
in a similar way, he's not taking, in selection of his captain, he's not taking it as any coach would do. I think they voted for, they did a vote, a popular vote. It's not a classroom monitor selection process.
Yeah, yeah.
You go there in that dressing room, you inform the players, this is my captain. He will lead you. And the captain then does what the manager asks
but
of him.
The
that,
problem?
Yeah. That, in essence, leads to other problems in the squad.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
the Mesut Ozil situation at the moment, I don't know what he's doing. Tactically, he doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
He's lost his tactics. He's off.
Yeah.
But you know, again, the problem with the whole manager walking in and pick a manager is, I mean, a captain is, most players at the moment, like, it's hard to contain professionals. It's hard to just lead them. That's why many teams, like, you know, there's this team that were playing PSG the other day, and the guy lost a pen. He went up to take the penalty, missed, and he was not there selected.
Yeah.
So you see now such measures, you don't see them in the big clubs.
Yeah.
You know, a manager is not, he's dealing with big heads, man. Like, guys are there, they feel like they're the best they've achieved. Ramos started taking penalties out of nowhere.
In a
team that has Benzi, has Bell, has Hazard.
Yeah.
So, you know, such like things, Cruz can take a very good penalty. So, you know, I feel like I'm not Emery in per se. Okay, I'm Emery in because I'm a United fan. But, I don't support the guy. Yeah, of course, Emery in. We're doing this with this guy. You know, look at the Arsenal squad.
Yeah.
There's no one there playing for the team. It's individual. Laka came back from injury.
Yes.
He's doing nothing.
Yeah.
I've been a Lacazette supporter since forever.
I like him.
He's off.
Yeah.
Everyone is off. No one is doing anything. Guendouzi is lost without Xhaka.
Yeah.
There's a foul on Soyuncu. That was a penalty.
Yeah.
That's a childish tackle. You can't go pulling someone back.
And you haven't added a £75 million signing.
It's actually that arrived. But
so much fanfare.
The front, I feel like Emery is getting it wrong. Play those four people together. Make your attack kill. You know, you're saying, which doesn't make sense. He says he'd rather win 5-4 than win 1-0.
Yeah, it's not, you won't have 5-4 games all the time. You'd probably have, you lose games by one goal margin, but it's probably a 1-0 or 2-1, which you need a proper defense and a proper midfield that can get you through difficult games, because you're not going to score 5 every day. You're not going to score 4 every day. So you have a player like Pepe, who I have to mention, because I feel he, when he gets into his stride, he'll be very good. And I think the banter that I think he needs time to.
I'm looking at the, and I'm like, he's not. Yes, we're saying he's not. He needs time. How much time does he take? How long are we going to give him to adapt?
Players from Ligue 1 and continental Europe usually need a bit of time. At very rare cases, you get players who just
hit
the floor running. But I think the way he's being handled at the moment, managed, and all that, you have Pepe, you have Aubameyang, you have Lacazette. Why don't you play the three? You are my front three. You are my Salah, Mane, Firmino. Come with me, unless one of you is injured or whatever.
Yeah.
And then build the team behind them. I think there'd be a better side in that manner.
But I feel, because if I look at the way Leicester were building up,
mm-hmm.
there's a Ndidi, he hit the bar. What was Ndidi doing
in
your
that
box?
Yes.
What I mean, this is a defensive midfielder who should be pressing. He should be between the center backs.
Yeah.
Arsenal should be on the ball.
Yeah.
But how is he that much up front? Look at the second goal. I mean, actually the Vardy goal.
Yeah.
Vardy was unmarked.
Yes.
In the box.
And he did a simple thing of pulling back towards the back post.
It was, I think, Chambers.
Yes.
Why are you going with a back three against a team that is motivated, a team that wants to go looking for that top four? They're giving Liverpool pressure with Man City, and you're going with a back three and a defense of Luiz, who will, like, the long balls. Chilwell did one to Vardy.
Yeah.
At least Leno came out early. So if you like the whole Arsenal, the way they're setting up, it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And this international break should be used as, like, he should go back to the drawing board and just look at the squad. He has a very good squad, actually.
Well, as long as Emery is there, I don't think. I don't think anything will change, which is good.
Neymar talked to him. Like, so many people have been complaining about Unai. And Arsenal went anyway. We thank them for that.
Yes, we are in the same boat, at least for now.
So if we say we look at, like, the way, look at the top four, how the top four is at the moment, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We have Liverpool, Leicester, Chelsea, and Man City.
Yeah.
Chelsea, out of nowhere, I mean, kids. Mm. But Lampard is doing something good.
Yeah.
But if you look at the last game for Liverpool and Manchester City, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What went wrong? The first goal, the team that got the first goal ran the match. If City had gotten that penalty, would it have been different?
But City were good. I feel City were very good.
Uh-huh.
In another game, they probably would have scored more than once.
Uh-huh.
Liverpool... Okay, first, before we get into the decisions and whether it should have been a handball or foul or whatever, the general flow of the game, I feel the first half City was so good. They attacked as they always do.
Yeah.
They controlled Liverpool's attacks, even though they conceded twice. And the concessions were basically counter-attacks,
uh-huh.
which Liverpool are good at, transitions and all that. So... the general feel of the game was that I thought City should have at least, and as you say, had they gone a goal up, then perhaps it would have been a very
that
different
That penalty
game.
Would have brought something different, yeah.
Yes, which again, we all agree should have been a penalty. And maybe, well, not all of us, I feel it should have been a penalty.
I'm lost, I'm actually confused, because Bernardo handled.
Yes.
So I feel like both should have been looked at and still a pain, but again, he handled before Robo, before Trent.
So here's the most interesting thing about the handball rule. When they made the rule changes last year.
Yeah.
You remember the penalty United got at PSG?
They lost, yeah.
Yeah, the last.
Ole at the wheel.
Yeah. Well. the decision that destroyed football.
Yeah.
Because the fallout from that has been, you see,
yes,
area.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So now, the interesting thing is that UEFA interpret the handball rule differently from the way it's interpreted in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And had City gone and scored after Silva handled the ball,
then
it should have been chopped off.
Uh-huh.
Right? But City didn't score. Then Alexander Arnold handled the ball.
Uh-huh.
You could argue that that was part of the build-up to Liverpool's goal.
Yes.
And ideally, Liverpool's goal should have been chopped off.
Oh, my God.
But then the referee probably didn't see it and left it for VAR to help him
out. I feel like he saw it, but then he saw Fabinho's goal. He was like, man, how do you even call that out? I would not. You remember Mkhitaryan?
Yes.
The goal. Yeah. He was miles offside.
Yeah, but then it was given because of that. And so if City had gotten that decision to go for them, probably scored. It's a different game. It's probably 6 points.
City controlled.
Points. Yeah.
City controlled the game because I was looking at Pep's presser and he was like, we did play well.
Yeah.
I looked at how they were playing.
Yeah.
They switch up. While off the ball, mm-hmm. they were at a 4-3-3. On attack, they were 4-2-2, 4-4-2. They're giving space. They're attacking with two, Aguero and KDB.
Yeah.
Mourinho was even saying like he felt like KDB was playing at the wrong position, which I feel like, yeah, because Sterling would have been working with Aguero up front much easier getting the distribution from KDB.
Yeah.
But the switch up was good. The problem is not Walker, they had a hole in Angelino. Mm-hmm. He's good, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But Pep forgot that wing can be used by Klopp.
Yeah.
Salah was on that guy.
Yeah.
When Salah is off, Trent is there. So, and when he's caught out, when Salah is on Angelino, Trent has gone up,
mm-hmm.
Hendo is coming, which means they pull up Rodri.
Yeah.
So they leave a defense of Dino.
Yes. And who was partnering him in defense?
Stones,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's not easy. That's how they won. Like, you know, the tactics that Pep used, he couldn't. Klopp had an answer for everything he tried.
And if you look at the game, it was won by fullbacks.
Yes.
The ones that performed.
The Salah goal.
Yeah, the ones that performed won the game for Liverpool. The ones that didn't perform didn't win the game for Man City. So, ideally, the way City like to play, their wide midfielders come inside and then the fullbacks do go very high. So you have Kyle Walker and
Angelino
in this case.
Yes.
So usually it's supposed to be Bernardo Silva who is usually, he wins titles without playing games, but
Mendy. You're saying Mendy.
Mendy. Yeah. So now, looking at Liverpool's fullbacks, Alexander Arnold and Scotsman Robertson.
Best pair in Europe at the moment, I think.
I'd say possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have Trent ahead of him.
No, the pairing.
Trent. Yeah, the pairing. Like, yeah. So now, of course, they create the second goal, but then the way they controlled the wide runs from City, that's Trent and Robertson
Sterling was well marked.
They managed KDB very well in those half spaces where he likes to put in crosses from. And so you'd feel that in as much as City were in control, City did perform, Liverpool were always in control. More or less similarly as they did in the Champions League final, where in as much as Spurs had more possession and were attacking, they were always in control.
Yeah.
And had City probably had their usual fullbacks in the squad, they might have performed better.
Usual fullbacks?
That's
Walker and Mendy?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Walker and what's this, Zinchenko guy?
Zinchenko is actually good. Yeah, he's pulling some numbers.
Yeah.
But the third goal, the Mane diving header, how the hell do you let Hendo take that much? Like, it's Henderson.
Yeah, money diving.
Money diving.
That's on topic.
So, like, that was a match that will have, I don't think it gives us the clear picture of how the league will go,
mm-hmm.
because there's still so much to come. I mean, with City, Liverpool, I feel like Liverpool had the better squad, considering City are suffering.
Yeah.
Like, I wished he'd played Otamendi and Stones with
mm-hmm.
Fernandinho
mm-hmm.
covering because he's mm-hmm. good there. That would have been a better cover. Just play your usual fullbacks, play Mendy
mm-hmm.
and Walker or Cancelo, like mm-hmm. you know. But the whole switch with Fernandinho has played there some few games, But the whole it didn't go well with how the Liverpool front three can kill you.
They're probably the best front three in world football right now.
Oh, and, no. Really?
Yeah. Well, they're really? European have champions seen, because
have PSG. PSG have a very killer attack.
Well, but they're PSG. Comes back, when Neymar comes back. But they're PSG anyway. So I don't know what's going on with Bernard Mendy, but he is a player who makes a huge difference to that City side. Yes. His forward runs, his deliveries, and all that.
Yeah.
They need that. They are suffering because of that. And I think if Liverpool go ahead and drop points, City will definitely drop points because I don't think they're at that level that they were at the end of last season.
The gap is at nine points. Yeah.
But the way I see it going, City will definitely drop points. We might even beat them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You know, they just play however they want to play. Yeah.
We have a weird paradox of performing against big teams.
Yes. Liverpool, we held them, yeah.
So if City have to be perfect, and being perfect for what, 5 months of the season is difficult. And they have Champions League and they have the FA Cup.
No. But you know, in City, we're getting to the close of the group stages. Yeah.
Yeah.
City will get a very, very easy draw.
As they always do.
Liverpool will get a tougher draw.
Yeah.
And Liverpool, they have so much. They have the Club World Cup, I think.
Yes, that's in a few weeks' time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they have so much that they can win. Mm. Klopp, I don't know where. What I think Klopp might go for the Premier League this time. Like, he really wants to win this cup.
Yes.
But if they drop points before December, mm-hmm. Pep is going to the market.
Yes.
And he'll get centre backs.
Throwing money at problems.
He will throw money to get that title number three. Yeah. He'll get that because if we look at the they have a very good squad depth, yes, but they're being killed by the whole injuries. Sané, I think, he's leaving, and but he's injured.
Yeah.
They have a front killer in Aguero. I really don't like Gabriel. I don't like Gabriel Jesus' movement in the box. I feel he's off. Like, he's good. He's fast. Mm. He's young. But compared to Aguero, if you want to win a game, start with Aguero. Just bring in Jesus for the CL. You have Shakhtar. You have Atalanta. Yeah. Bring him for such games. Because if we talk about this, like, let's talk about strikers in the world,
yeah?
In Europe, rather. We can't say world because we have people like Olunga.
Yeah.
Wait, Olunga is good. It's good. Mm-hmm. But look at the numbers. Do you think, let's talk of, 20 goals.
Mm.
Must you have a striker who hits 20?
It depends.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that is the system you play will probably affect... how do I say this? So how you set up your team to play while attacking will see you get a striker that scores you 20 goals or get a striker that doesn't have to score 20 goals but brings other players into the game.
Yeah.
Good example would be, okay, fine. Currently, I think Roberto Firmino, how many goals has he scored in the Premier League? His highest tally, I think, is 15 goals a season.
Uh-huh.
But the work he does to bring Salah and Mane into the game so that they get their goals cannot be overlooked. Then again, you have strikers like Jamie Vardy, right? An out-and-out
killer,
striker.
Yes.
Who the system that Brendan Rodgers has set up allows him to thrive in the box. So you expect 20 goals from a Jamie Vardy kind of striker. I don't expect 20 goals from Roberto Firmino. If he gets you 20 goals, that's a bonus. His main work is not to score goals. His main work is to ensure that the system comes together so that other players around him get those 20 goals. It won't be surprising. It's not surprising that Sterling got 20 goals last season.
Yeah.
City's wing play is absolutely devastating.
Yeah.
They'll get you. They'll do the same move 3-4 times. They'll get you. Sterling is one of the reasons why they do that. On the other side, they used to have Mane, but he's injured. I don't know who will come in for him. There's PSG that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Again, they have an out-and-out striker in Icardi, but then I haven't watched them enough to know whether he can get 20
goals.
He can get 20 goals.
Yeah, I've watched him. Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
So, again, it's these systems that coaches put in place. But getting 20 goals is not as important for teams as it was maybe in the mid-2000s or early 2010s ago. Because, okay, I remember at the turn of the century, getting 18 goals won you the golden boot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting 20 goals won you the golden boot. But then as football has evolved, then it has gotten to a point where the task of scoring goals does not necessarily fall on a striker. It falls on forwards. Yeah, I think when Germany went to the World Cup in 2014, they didn't have a striker. All their midfielders were forward players. They described them as forward players.
20,
yeah, Klose. When they won it. Well, Klose was described as a forward player.
Yeah.
So that evolution means that you can get away with a main striker not getting you 20 goals because your wide players will always chip in.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, let's look at... you've said Firmino is arguably the best number nine.
Without goals.
False nine, rather. Yeah. In the world. Eh?
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at, say is... Do you think Immobile mm. and Vardy play the same game? People like Zapata. Mm. Because, you know, Zapata is a killer. Zapata won't be told to, like, provide, like, Firmino. No. Like, Firmino, you just make sure the others look good.
Mm.
So, you know, I think it depends. But, again, as a striker, you have to have that killer instinct, man. Like, you know, you can't just... I get that you have to be have a false nine, but they're not so many in the game.
Yeah.
And the few who are there are fading off.
Yeah,
that's why Benzema has to go back up. Like, he's trying to hit the numbers.
Yeah. The thing about strikers is they only thrive in the systems that they are put in. I'd look at a Benzema. A Benzema wasn't... I mean, Benzema scored 4 goals in a season. 4 for a striker. Yeah?
Yeah.
And why did he score 4 goals in a season?
Yeah.
It didn't matter. His goal tally didn't matter because they had a wide player who was putting in 40, 50 goals a season. Now he has to bring his game up, or rather he has, the coaches at Madrid have to put him in a system where he can get goals.
Yes.
In Italy, it's a bit different. Their game is evolving also. They are moving away from the poachers in the box, so the Inzaghi kind of player, players like Ciro Immobile, who you mentioned, who is a lot more involved in the build-up play. And he's a weird one because I feel he should be at a bigger club doing bigger things.
Lazio is big enough, though.
But I think he went to Dortmund and it didn't work out for him there.
Yeah.
But he should be at a bigger club scoring more goals.
I say let's talk top five. Who are the top five strikers in Europe at the moment?
Ooh, pure strikers, not forwards. Pure strikers.
Yes, pure strikers.
So, yeah, I didn't think about this, but I'd say this Milan striker.
AC or Inter?
AC Milan.
Piątek.
Krzysztof Piątek.
Uh-huh.
I like him.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't scored in a few games,
uh-huh,
but he's a killer.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I'd go with Roberto Firmino, uh-huh, not for goals, but what he brings into the game. I'd say Romelu Lukaku. He's a top striker. I see the way you're looking at me. and who else? Those are three.
Mm.
I'd say Sergio Aguero definitely up there.
Yeah.
And finally, let me mention who? I think that's it.
That's your best. I'd go with how I'm watching them play at the moment.
Mm.
I'd go with Lewandowski.
Ah yes. Yes. I should have mentioned that, yeah.
Wissam Ben Yedder,
yeah,
Zapata,
Christian
Aguero,
Zapata, yeah,
then Firmino.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, Ben Yedder is not Benitez is hitting the numbers in Ligue 1. Uber, yeah. It's Ligue 1. So I feel, I mean, as a way for the way the manager, what is his name, sacked, came back. The Monaco manager won the league with Mbappe.
The bald guy.
Yes.
I don't know
so
what his
like
name
the
is.
Way he's building is he's ensuring Benitez, yeah, is getting the number. So yeah, I think he's one of the strikers who's not being mentioned much in Europe, and he should get the mention.
Attention,
but
yeah.
I think the top five. I don't know how you didn't mention Lewandowski and you mentioned Lukaku.
I forgot. But Lukaku I for the you. Goals and the way the way Inter
even,
set up.
You even didn't. You went for Lukaku instead, mm-hmm, of Lautaro. Like, look at the two.
But Lautaro,
you pick Lautaro ahead of Lukaku if you're going for the top five.
Lautaro plays behind Romelu, though. So I'd go for Romelu as the striker.
Romelu
the finisher.
Switched anyway. That's topic for another
yeah,
day.
Yeah. I like him. He's one of my favorite players. Though
we
his
love
first
that discussion, though, yeah?
Yeah. Sorry, I swore.
Sour. Thank you.
Yeah.